Today, we've got a great show, Green Building Practices and New Construction. This is really kind of cool that we get to do this with Amy and her very special guest today, Martha Rose. And the reason that this is important is that you don't know what you don't know. And I think that if you've been sort of following what we've been doing here, you had a sense of some things. I know many of you that have called in, and I'm hoping Amy is going to give us a little, going to catch us up on some of the other things that have been happening, some of the walkthroughs, some of the analysis that the listeners have gotten. But you figure out that you're doing pretty good. And then you get a level of awareness about your life, about your home, about what you're doing, and you think, oh, my gosh, I didn't know. I had no idea. But Amy is joining us here today. She is broker and owner of Rhino Roz Realty. She has a little logo shirt on today, which is kind of cool. Her background, her upbringing, her passion and her purpose really set the stage for what she does today in the world. And what I mean by that is that it's one thing to have an extremely successful business in the world today, especially, if you're looking at real estate. But it's another thing to have a consciousness about how you go about that. And what we're looking at is we're finding more and more people with that level of consciousness and how they take their gifts into the world. You know, she's someone that made that transition in 2003, but more importantly, she's someone that knows what it means to be in the world of green-friendly, green living. And so that is what, you know, embodies her in her day-to-day work as she works with many, many people, you know, all over, you know, the sound to help them understand that there are things that we can know, things that we can do in the world today. So her mission statement is to help her clients achieve their housing goals, whether buying or selling or renting, by providing them with the very best real estate services available in today's market. And what you get to learn from Amy, that's just the icing on the cake. Amy, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be back.
Now, you have a guest, so why don't we introduce your guest?
I do. I'm here with Martha Rose, and she owns Martha Rose Construction, and she is a pioneer leading the charge in Built Green here in Seattle. She really helps people understand that, you know, beauty lies within in regards to your home.
Thank you, Amy. I'm happy to be here.
So what is that like? What does that mean, you know, when you own your own construction? Because I think it's important. I mean, I'm always in awe when, you know, when I hear an introduction like that about starting a construction company. You know, you certainly had to go against the grain in a lot of ways. But is that something you've been passionate about? How did that come to you?
Good question. It was actually an unintended consequence.
Right. That's why I'm here.
Right.
Completely unintended.
Exactly.
Unintended.
So I got into construction back in the early 70s when it was very romantic to be a carpenter and found that I loved it and never really aspired to be more than a tradesperson until perhaps 6 years later when a neighbor of mine said, if you don't like what the developers are building, you have to become one. And so I still didn't embrace that idea. But a number of years later, my work evolved into being a developer. And that way I could end up building it the way I wanted to build it and make the changes in the industry that I wanted to see made be changed.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Amy. Amy, thank you for joining me here today. I'm always excited about the few folks that you bring and those conversations. But I wanted to ask you a question before we talk about today's topic about green building practices and especially about the things that we don't know, because we don't know what we don't know in a lot of areas. But I wanted to ask you about, you know, sort of the state of the union of things these days. You know, how would you describe where we are with this idea of green building?
I think that we're progressing forward. Education needs to happen out there. It's just like you said, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And the more that people talk about it and the more mainstream that green building becomes, the more affordable it is and the more it's going to catch on. And people are going to be focusing on buying places that have a healthy indoor air quality and are more energy efficient. And right now when people hear it, while they've heard it before, they just don't quite grasp the whole concept of it.
So, you know, I guess part of the question that we're going to talk about a lot of things today, actually. But I guess, you know, part of this is to look at what's important to know But what's important to know about new construction?
There's a lot of opportunities that exist for somebody to build new construction. You can really focus on the indoor air quality, energy efficiency, and helping the environment. And this includes managing your waste, doing low-impact development to help with our stormwater, using good building materials. And we're going to talk about all of that today. It's a really big topic.
Yeah, it is.
So Martha's actually going to be here with me today and next week. We're going to do a two-part series.
Part one, part two, huh?
Part one, part two, and try to give everybody some, you know, information to really move forward with. You can adapt this if you're not, you know, building new construction, but it's really good information. So we wanted to do it over 2 weeks.
You know, it's really fascinating too, because I think we've learned a lot. You know, I remember when my family was in construction in New York. And you didn't see folks walking around with masks on, or, you know, you just, they just went about their business in the middle of, you know, lead-based paint or whatever it is that was going on there. And we didn't even understand that from a worker perspective. Now it's the, you know, we seem to have some level of education, but the flip side of that is from the buyer's point of view, we don't, you know, we don't ask why was that person that was working on my house over there like in a big headgear, or why were they wearing masks when they were working on my home? And I think those are questions that we don't even think about asking. Or the other question is, why should they wear masks when building homes? But the question I think comes is, how many green homes are being built? Are we really moving ahead with that?
Seattle is definitely taking the charge in that.
Okay.
In 2012, there was about 42% of new construction was built green in Seattle. And so far this year, we're at about 43%. And so, I mean, that's, you know, it's half of the new construction in the Seattle area.
So, you know, is Seattle different? I mean, I know Seattle's different.
Well, Seattle's very progressive.
I know Seattle's different. I know we're very progressive. But, you know, what I mean by that is I come from a state that I believe also is progressive, which is New Jersey. But not for the same reasons. You know, New Jersey had to get progressive because they were like not going to make it with the amount of toxicity, you know, that was in the land and in the water. You know, from our point of view, if you say green building here, you don't get like a weird look. Right?
Right.
You don't get people that are thinking, oh, no, wait a minute. I don't like the color green. Don't paint my house green. That's not what they're thinking about. Right. They have a level of awareness that other folks don't have. Let's talk about what people believe about green building. If you ask anyone about building a home and would you be interested in learning how to build a green friendly home, what's the first thing they say?
Well, the first thing they say is we can't afford to
That's
build
right.
a green home.
That's what they say.
You know, and it is relatively close to a myth. Some builders can build a built green home for the same square footage price as others. But I would say it's about, you know, 2 to 5% more to build a built green home. But some builders can build them for the same cost because they can save by implementing green building techniques right from the beginning.
Exactly.
Martha, what's your opinion about that?
So we employ several techniques. One is to make the footprint a little bit smaller just to absorb that increase in cost. But also we argue that more insulation does cost more money, but it saves on your utility bills later on. So, in fact, while it might appear on paper to be a little bit more expensive, your operating costs are so much less that it offsets your little bit extra mortgage. When you have a heating bill that's only $60 a year, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, this is what we're going to talk about when we come back from break, too. You know, there's a cost associated with not doing it. And what I mean by that, I've gone through a generation here, a decade, of watching, even in a place like Seattle, of watching holistic medicine. I don't even call it alternative anymore, you know, but holistic medicine and integrative energy and integrative medicine really go from being sort of like, we can't do that, too expensive, to people saying, there's no way I can afford not to do it. So that's the conversation. Knowing that you're going to buy a home, you're going to step into it, you're probably going to live in it a really long time. I would think you would want to do a few sanity checks to make sure that you understand, is this a green slash health conscious environment that I'm stepping into. And that's what today's show is about. We're going to take a short break, everyone. You mentioned that you threw out a number before, and I really do want to go back and revisit it because I guess it didn't hit me until we were talking about it during the break. And I think you guys said, what did you say for utility?
Well, the heating bill on these homes, we had them modeled by an independent verifier.
Yeah.
And it's projected to be $60 a year.
See, I thought you said $60 a month before.
A year.
But then during the break, we were talking about it.
$5 a month.
$5 a month?
Right. And our goal is to design and build homes that have no zero energy costs.
How do you even calculate the cost savings of that over a 30-year period? Huh? Wow.
Yeah,
huge.
It's big. And people have a hard time getting that, wrapping their heads around it. But in fact, it's a new movement that's underway in across the nation. Sometimes people label it passive house. We're not going through the passive house certification, but I took the passive house class, and we employ many of the building techniques that they teach. And, and the whole goal is to not need anything but body heat, daily activities like cooking and, and washing, because all those things generate heat. So the idea is to capture that heat and not let it get out of your house. So that becomes your heat sources.
Yeah. Wow. This is good. We're going to have fun with this.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about, Amy, we're talking about a couple different things, but we are talking about what does it mean to have green building practices as part of your day-to-day life, especially when we're looking today at new construction. This is part one of a two-part series we're going to be doing. And I wanted to, you know, talk with you a little bit about how we even begin to start to think about this. You know, because I know what it's like to build a home from scratch, because I've done that and done remodeling. But we didn't have a sense of what you're talking about. And I'll tell you, if any home needed to have what you just talked about there with the heating thing, honestly, for me, that would have been it. But I've watched many, many homes go up that are not even remotely asking the questions about what green building is. So, Amy, I guess for you, where I want to start is, you know, what is that first step for folks to be thinking about this?
And when you're thinking about building new construction, the first step obviously you need to think about is how is the house going to sit on the lot? So, you know, the site orientation and design, it's really important. Where your home sits compared to where the sun is can drastically reduce your heating and cooling costs, like Martha was talking about. It can give you more light, and it can also increase the sale of your home. Ideally, you want your house, the roof line of your house to face south to capture the maximum sunlight. If you can have that. Obviously, you can still build a deep green home with good insulation, even if it can't face south. But if you have a lot and you can place your house on it so the roof line faces south, that would be the ideal location and orientation.
You want to add something here, Martha?
Well, I would just reiterate that don't be distressed if your house isn't properly oriented to the south, because the thinking now is with proper air sealing and good high levels of insulation, you can achieve similar results.
Okay, so we've learned a lot is what we're talking about today in the show. And part of what we're learning is how to be smarter from the get-go, you know, from the beginning. I know, Amy, we've done a couple of shows where we talk about how can you be smarter if you're moving into a home that's already built. But now we're talking about how do you even begin to think about this? And, you know, honestly, for me, I would have to be able to say, I need somebody to come in here and help me think about it. Otherwise, you jump into a whole bunch of assumptions and untruths in a lot of this. So I wanted you to talk about a couple of these things that are really important, especially a tight building. Mm-hmm. You know, when we hear that term in construction, and I was facilities management of big corporate buildings like this one here, tight building comes up a lot. But we don't really hear a lot about that in residential, and I wanted you to address that.
So once you know how your house is going to be sitting on a lot, you need to start thinking as the house as a whole system. We did touch base on that in our energy efficiency show, because you should look at your home as a whole system, and you know that requires focusing on your building envelope. And having a tight building envelope is really important because it's really the foundation for energy efficiency.
So let's explain to people what that means, a tight envelope, just as a recap, because, you know, there's the extreme, right? I'm sure, Martha, you've walked into places and you could feel the draft coming around out from around those windows, right?
I've lived in places.
I know,
like
I have too. You're at the freezing places with that, and you're sitting in there with three blankets on you, and you're thinking, where's this coming from?
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the building envelope is what separates the indoor and the outdoor environments. And if you focus on air sealing and having a tight envelope, it will really reduce your energy costs. But when you're building new construction, you need to understand that the building envelope requires the largest amount of materials when you're building a home. So in building new construction, especially if you want to incorporate green building practices, you want to use a building technique that's called advanced framing.
What is that about? Tell me that, Martha. What's advanced framing?
Advanced framing is not any one method, but it's a variety of methods to eliminate what they call thermal bridging. And thermal bridging is where you have dissimilar materials coming together and also, say, a wall plane meeting a floor plane. And that's where the heat gets out of the house. And so advanced framing comes up with techniques to make it so that the heat doesn't leak out in those normal places. So one example of that is one that we use where we take 1 inch of foam board and install it under the plywood around the entire perimeter of the house. And that way it's like a gasket. Think of it as a gasket.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And, you know, what I'm asking you about right here is if all this goes in the planning, right?
Correct.
Then you're not backtracking. You're not trying to fix anything. It's part of the efficiency of the house built, you know, from the get-go. And, you know, people that do this kind of building, at some level, they must have a sense of it, but they can't possibly know what we're talking about here today.
Well, I think it goes back to, we're talking about a level of education and, you know, finding builders who really understand advanced framing and how you're using less materials in doing so. Is that right?
Well, sometimes you use less materials. Sometimes we're stuck with our seismic codes that require 16 inches on center. So some people instantly jump to
right.
Advanced framing means 24 inches on center. That's not really what it
right.
means. It's really a much broader envelope than that, or, you know, umbrella than that. And I don't know. There's just a lot of different ways to get there. And we found that I understand it because I've studied this for many years. And we end up training our framers how to do it.
Right. And I was going to ask you that. How do you transfer the knowledge?
I teach them.
Okay.
Basically.
Uh-huh.
And then once you've taught them, then they know, then they internalize it, and then they can take it with them to another job or not, because chances are they're not going to convince a builder to do that. The builder, it usually starts from the top down. And the framers hired to accomplish the task. And you can't redesign the building. And usually when they show up, the building's already designed. So really, the hierarchy is that there are many, many classes out there that are teaching designers,
yeah.
builders,
yeah.
these techniques and these ideas. Once they step up and make the decision, then it's our job to educate our subcontractors.
What we're talking about, though, here, and this is what I think that, you know, for me, and, you know, I know a little bit about construction. That's actually dangerous. But for people that don't, I mean, the whole idea, it makes so much sense, though. I mean, when you're thinking about it from, like, a common sense point of view, right?
Yes.
It's like, why isn't everybody doing it? Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like...
It goes back to level of education.
I know.
You know, and you have to be hands-on as a builder. Martha can't just leave all these people, you know, unsupervised, because she needs to make sure they're doing things in the proper manner.
You have to be hands-on when you're doing something like this.
Yeah, and there's one more piece that I'd like to throw out, and that is it does cost more to add this layer of foam. And so what we do is we say that that's our bling. So instead of putting in, say, granite countertops or lots of crown moldings and stuff like that, we invest the money in where we believe it really matters. And so it takes, if somebody says, well, I want the energy efficiency, I want that $60 a year heating bill, I'm going to say to them, then give up your crown moldings and give up your granite and a few other little
right.
Things that you can always add later or not.
Exactly. That's going to be my point. Because you're not really giving it up. You're postponing it.
Correct.
And that's what I love. You can't postpone
The envelope.
The envelope of the infrastructure.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All you're saying to folks is, you know what? Once you get that envelope, reduce your little, you know, your heating bill. And you know what? When it's right, go down there to the granite place, get yourself some granite on the counter, whatever you want. Because what you're talking about is a systematic change to the infrastructure of the house. And you, I'm sure you could go back and do something, but you can't really cost effectively.
Well, it's very difficult to do. My last show is actually on retrofitting an existing home.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about, you know, what options you can do. But it's just really important to understand when you're building new construction, the opportunity you have to really focus on the building envelope and the house as a whole system. It, like I said, you know, when Martha helps us understand, you know, beauty lies within, it's really true. When you walk into her house, you might not really understand what really exists and what a gem it is, because it's all on the inside.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of this is really getting educated about a whole lot of things. I mean, we haven't even touched upon resale for some of this and value. And one of the things I love about this, I had a conversation with a friend of mine that just does green expos all over the country. And, you know, he has an amazing topic he's talking about now. And he's saying, you know, right now, you know, we're having a buzz about resale around homes like this. He said 10 years from now, it won't be a buzz. It'll be a requirement. And that's what people are not really looking at, especially when we're talking about new construction, what the incredible value is. We're going to take a short, let's take a moment to reflect upon why green is important. And this is really a moment we need to have right here. You know, why is this conversation important? Well, if you're like me, you grew up in a neighborhood when the paint chipped, it was lead paint. You know, you went through times of understanding, and Amy, you've talked about every one of these. We went through radon conversations about what radon is. Then we've gone through conversations about what happens when, you know, you're really not being mindful of what goes into your house and what happens when you're breathing things in. So if you're thinking about new construction, why not capture everything Amy has said and all the shows before? Why not nip this now? Why not be proactive for yourselves and for your children and for what that house is going to mean to you? Let's give out your websites one more time. And then, Martha, you're going to take us through a little journey.
Okay.
My website is rhinoraz.com. I also have ecoconsciousliving.com. And ecoconsciousliving.com is just really focusing on educational materials for people regarding their homes, about indoor air quality, energy efficiency, building new construction, and it will also go over topics on retrofitting your existing house.
Great.
My two websites are citycabins.com, and that site showcases our current project that's on the market and for sale. My other website is martharoseconstruction.com, and that website is full of a lot of information, including links with our green building partners.
Okay, because it does take a village to do this.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's really important to really point out. You know, it takes a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of like-minded people coming together to pull this off in a way of integrity, doesn't it? Martha, you're going to take us on a little journey, aren't you?
Sure.
Martha has four townhomes for sale right now down by Columbia City, and she's really doing some amazing things. You should go and check them out. Are you holding open houses?
They're open houses most Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay.
Yes.
And tell everybody the website they can find those at again.
citycabins.com.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
And so before we had the break, we were talking about advanced framing and thermal bridging, and these are probably some words that people haven't heard before.
Right.
And so can you tell us about, you know, the current projects that you are doing and, you know, what that really means?
Sure. So I'd like to start by saying that we design all of our homes around our mechanical systems. And we were talking about the where do you go? Where do you start? And the reason why we do that is because advanced framing and eliminating thermal bridges creates a very tight envelope for the home, which means that you need to have a really good ventilation system for the home. And that has to be centrally located so that it can be distributed properly. And then your hot water goes in that same room. So I wanted to throw that in there because that affects... Really, it leads the way. It becomes the most important thing. So every step of the way, we're trying to figure out how to insulate the floor against the cold dirt. And to do that, we put in 4 inches of closed cell foam, which means that when you stand on your concrete floor, and we do polished concrete floors, mm-hmm. It's not 45 degrees. It's about 70 degrees. So while we do not put heat in our floors because we don't need to, those floors are very comfortable to stand on. And then the exterior walls are constructed with 1 inch of foam under the plywood, and then what we call a blown-in bat, which is a fiberglass fabric that's stapled to the studs, and then a non-formaldehyde fiberglass is blown into the stud cavity. Above every window, we have hollow headers, which means that we can insulate, instead of having solid wood above the windows, we can insulate above the windows. And that's a framing technique that involves our structural engineer, so we're not sacrificing any, we're not creating structural problems, we're just getting more creative about how we carry the bearing loads. And when we get up to the roof, on this project, we actually employed a new technique that we hadn't used in the past because our building codes have only recently allowed it, and it's called non-vented attic space. So we have a sloped ceiling, and the entire attic cavity is filled up with insulation with 1 inch of foam under the roof sheathing as well. And that way, it helps to keep you completely encased in this warm comfort zone and eliminating thermal bridges, because the foam is now a thermal break that goes under the slab, up the walls, up the roof. So you have the entire envelope completely enclosed in this it's a closed cell foam, so it cannot absorb any water, and it also serves mm-hmm. as an air and moisture barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the HRV, of course,
yeah.
Is bringing you, okay, HRV, which is a heat recovery ventilator, brings fresh air into the home 24 hours a day and delivers it to all the bedrooms and the living room. And at the same time it's bringing that fresh air in, it's exhausting stale air that's warm from every bathroom and the kitchen and the utility room. And that warm air that this machine is taking outside is warming up the incoming air. So it's delivered to those bedrooms and that living room at almost the same temperature as the air that's going out.
Wow.
You know, this is a fancy machine. This is big. It hangs over the washer dryer. So it's not just a little box in the ceiling. This is a machine that's 4.5 feet long and 20 inches by 20 inches and has all kinds of ductwork coming out of it. And it's the most important machine in the whole house. And it takes the place of a forced air furnace.
And that's what I want, you know, people to understand, is when we're talking about this tight envelope.
That's hard to imagine. It takes the place of a forced air furnace?
Well, in other words, we don't need a furnace
wow.
in these houses. So
that's amazing.
But we do need this ventilation system.
Right.
So as far as importance, this machine takes the place of the furnace as importance. And it's also about
yeah.
the same size
wow.
as the furnace, but it hangs from the ceiling.
Because if you're going to have a tight envelope, you really need to if you're going to insulate right, you need to ventilate right. And if you're not going to have a furnace because the home is very tight, you're still going to need a way to have good indoor air quality. Like we talked about, you have to circulate the air 3 to 5 times a day.
Yeah.
So this machine will, by running 24 hours a day on low speed, it actually gives you 5 complete air changes every single day. They say that new homes and old homes both, but especially new homes, are about 10 times more polluted than standing on a busy street corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
I know, I heard that.
I know, it's astounding.
Isn't that crazy,
it's
though?
It's crazy.
That's pretty polluted.
You're right.
If you ever stood yeah. on a street corner.
Right. So we get rid of the formaldehyde and we get rid of the toxic ingredients. We use pure ingredients. And then the icing on the cake, but still the most important part of the cake is the heat recovery ventilator.
And mm-hmm. I think a good thing that people should understand is if they're sitting here thinking, well, there's no furnace, I don't understand, you know, and what Martha was talking about is you really try to capture the heat that comes from the lighting, your appliances, your body heat. There's a home in Alaska that was just showcased as one of the tightest building envelopes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a furnace, and, mm-hmm. and it's in Alaska, and you know it does just capture the heat within the home. So it can happen anywhere over the whole country. It's mm-hmm. not just in mild climates.
Well, I think part of this is really understanding what that really means. You know, we're so used to living in environments where heat escapes on a regular basis. You know, people that run air conditioning, they wonder, why isn't my house getting cool enough? And out it goes. I mean, we've gotten so used to being inefficient when it comes to, you know, energy and heat. The other thing I think that's important for us to talk about as well when we come back is, you know, we're talking about creating an environment that is really health conscious as well. You know, this is being mindful from the get-go on new construction and what you're doing. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that when we come back from break. What are some of the things people should know about new construction that we haven't talked about yet today, and how to at least have some kind of conversation if you're building new, or if you're not, knowing the questions to ask about how the house was built. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show. Amy, Martha joining us here today. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this information, how you can get some of the reports, and what to do next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with this. So let's go back a little bit to the last conversation. We were talking about, you know, your house being tight, you know, heat. And I think we have to just have a slightly different conversation, because one of them is what you know. The other one is what psychologically goes through people's minds. So would you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I really want people to understand the heat, the HRV, which is what Martha was talking about, which is a heat recovery ventilation system. And it really is the central part. All of her homes are designed around this system. And I really want people to understand, you know, what this is. It's not a furnace, but what it literally does is it takes all the stale air that's in your home, it takes it out, and it brings in fresh air. And when fresh air comes into this system, it actually takes the heat from the stale air that's going out of the house, and it brings that heat back in. So you're actually bringing in, you know, if it's 50 degrees outside, but your home is 77, the 50 degree air actually comes in at 77 degrees as fresh air. It's just the stale air leaves. And,
yeah,
and these air streams never mix. And it's really an amazing system that people really need to understand.
We call this system the lungs of the home.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
that's good. But I think that, you know, part of this is for all of us to be educated about it. You know, to be educated, you know, that just that one point that you just pointed out. I mean, I could see a lot of people thinking, oh, my God, how's my house get heated?
Well,
how do I get the fresh air?
When I was trying to learn about it and understand, I was like, so there's no heat. So we're bringing in 50 degree air. How does this work? You know, and it wasn't, again, going back to education. I really sat down and tried to figure out. It's hard to talk about something you don't understand, that it does take the heat from the air leaving your house, and it transfers that into the fresh air coming in.
Right. So the model we use is 92% efficient. And we actually had one of these machines monitored for 2 years by the Building America folks.
Wow.
And they came back and said, yes, indeed, it is functioning at 92% efficiency.
Wow.
So I feel confident explaining that to people and trusting those numbers.
Well, you know, part of this, too, I mean, to have that kind of operation, 92% is really good. You know, I mean, it's really,
really
good. It's a good baseline. You know, but part of this is also getting, you know, moving beyond any thoughts that we have of the way things should be. Because, you know, we hold on to these thoughts like, oh, my gosh, every house needs to have a furnace. Right?
That's right. And it's not true
that's
anymore.
Our thought. No,
yeah.
It's not true anymore. But there's a psychological thing that goes on for people, right?
Right.
About it. Now, you know, we're all been really educated about different aspects of different things. And I think this isn't a big part of that, Amy, isn't it?
Well, it is. As we were talking about over the break, Martha does put these infrared heat panels in the bedrooms and in homes for banks who don't want to lend because they don't understand, or people who have a psychological issue thinking they can't buy a home with a heat source. Like, they rarely get turned on, but they are there.
That's right. So, as a builder, I would never build a home without heat, even though I would promote the home as never needing heat, because everybody needs the security blanket.
Right.
And we never know when there is going to be the unusual weather system that comes in that is totally unexpected. So that way you can stay comfortable even if there is an unexpected turn of events. So these infrared heating panels are placed in the living room, the nook, every bedroom gets one, and they will maintain the temperature of the home in the event of a very, very cold snap.
Right. But when you kind of put that together, you know, when you couple that with the fact that you're already in, you know, a very efficient home to begin with, you know, what it really does for a lot of people. For me, when I hear you talk about it, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be pretty safe in here. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, my neighbors are going to be coming down here to get warm. And you know, because that's the kind of thing we're talking about. I mean, if you get a natural disaster, usually, unless you got a backup generator, like we had that power outage in Bothell, what, a week ago? Everything gets turned down and turned off, right? And if you don't have an efficient home, all of that heat is gone in a short period of time, right? It's kind of like my friend said to me, you know, the electricity is off. Don't open your refrigerator door because it's tight. In a house that's not tight, you don't have to open anything. The air just escapes, right? I mean, that's the difference in the model we're talking about. But I understand the psychological, you know, issue around that. You know, we talked about a lot. We didn't talk about construction material, Amy. When is that going to be covered? Because that's a big one, too.
It's a big topic, and that's why we saved green building materials for next week. Martha and I will be here next Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's a good one.
And we're not only going to talk about green building materials, but we're also going to talk about the sourcing of these materials, as well as using
what
these
does that mean,
materials
sourcing?
Efficiently. Sourcing of where we're getting these materials from.
Oh, right.
And
does anybody really know that?
Oh, yes, you
okay.
can find out.
All
it's,
right.
it's you can find out where the materials are coming in. It's very important if you are focusing on in green building because the transportation and how the materials get here, how the materials are harvested, it's a very important topic to understand if you're really trying to focus on green building and deep green building and using materials efficiently as far as managing your construction waste. It's a big topic that we're going to talk about as well as with the materials. And we're also going to talk about low-impact development next week and how to manage all the stormwater that we have in the area.
Yeah, no kidding, like all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like during the football game last week. What is up with that?
Right.
One last question, personal message. What would you like to leave us with? Amy?
Every little bit counts. As we talked in every show, changing one light bulb, trying to focus on, you know, having a rain barrel, every little bit counts. And if you just start with something, you get the ball rolling, you get the momentum rolling, the education rolling, it makes it easier with choices you have when making decisions to do things at your house.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the learning does never stop. So
no.
Every 6 months, there are new products on the market. And so keep your mind open and whatever is the hot thing today might be tomorrow decided that it's not, it's passe or whatever.
Right.
So just to keep your mind open and keep moving in the right direction towards net zero.
Well, and then what we'll talk about next time is also, you know, these construction materials, not just for new homes, but, you know, people that are using materials, you know, and going out and getting the cheapest thing they could get, not even understanding what's in it, how it's been treated, what you know, how it affects the environment. And none of that really, you know, comes into play for a lot of folks, especially people that are doing their own home stuff, right? I know I've been one of those folks that do that.
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand where to get these materials from. It's not like
no.
you just pop down to Home Depot and get them. So when people are just trying to do something quickly, they just go and they buy what's at their fingertips.
That's right. And, exactly right.
And so, they don't know that there's choices. And that's what we're going
to I think that's really yeah. the big issue because we don't know that there's choices. Now I think we're getting educated and learning that there are so many choices. But the other thing is if people don't know, they can call each of you. How about giving out your phone numbers?
Our office phone is 206-508-1250. And if you do have questions about any of this, you know, I'm more than happy to help. I love educating people about not only protecting their biggest investment they're going to make, but also helping the environment while doing so.
Right. My office phone number is 206-784-0147. And I, too, will call you back and be happy to answer your questions.
Super. Thank you both for joining me here today.
Thank
I can't wait till next
us.
Week. I got yeah. my questions already. And again, folks can go to citycabins.com, and they can find out about I'm on the website right now. They could find out about all of the buildings that you're doing. They could look at Columbia Station and much more. We're going to take a short break, everyone. When we come back, more with the Dr. Pat Show and Dr. Friedemann Schaub. We'll be right back.